I've got a lot of ideas and a lot of things I want to share, but what I want to share means nothing. Because what I'm trusting for this morning is that the Holy Spirit would come and open the eyes of our hearts. So let's just bow our heads again and give this morning to the Lord. So Father, we thank you for this morning, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you say, Lord, that you want to come and dwell amongst us, Lord Jesus. Father, you want to come and enlighten our hearts and make our hearts burn for you, Lord God. And so, Father, this morning, I trust you, Holy Spirit. Would you let the spirit of revelation and understanding come and open the eyes of our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm wanting to achieve something a little bit different in us this morning. Something that is, it's so simple in nature, but I think it is absolutely vital to our walk with the Lord. So if you are taking notes, I'll kind of give you my breakdown. I'm quite systematic, and I like having my ways of doing it. So the title that I've given this morning, oh, I actually brought a prop for this one. Yes, it is in a Tupperware because it is sharp. And based off my previous stewardship teaching, you should know, it's a knife. So if you weren't here a couple weeks ago, I did a stewardship teaching on a knife and how the word is a knife that's super sharp and it cuts us. But this morning I brought a different type of knife. It's a small little one. And the title of my preach this morning is called Your Daily Dagger. Your Daily Dagger. I'm sure you can kind of see where it's going. Maybe you can't. But that's okay. So I'm going to give you my main point. I am then briefly going to highlight three attributes or three ways to describe the Word of God, the Bible. And then I'm going to give you four benefits for why we should study the Bible and why it is so important. And then hopefully if there's time, we will read the Word together and allow the Lord to come awaken our hearts. So last time I had the privilege of preaching in our context, I preached on consistency. I'm sure you might remember that. And I asked a number of different questions. And one of the questions that I asked was, what is the single biggest time waster in your life, and how can you redeem the time? And I think this morning, what I want to highlight with that question is the perfect replacement for all the things that we use to steal our time. And honestly, the main thing of this morning is just that we would know him, that we would know him better. So as I've laid it out, my main point is simply this. Living life without reading and studying the Word of God is like going scuba diving without an oxygen tank. Living life without reading and studying the Word of God is like going scuba diving without an oxygen tank. So if you don't know, scuba diving is where you go really deep in the ocean. It's not snorkeling. Snorkeling, you have a little pipe that's just sticking above the water. Scuba diving is where you go deep. It's where you go down, down, down. Like I'm talking about like 30 meters down. It's far. And if you don't have a scuba tank, you're not even going to make it down. Like, you'll make it a couple of meters and that's that. So that's my main point. But in order to get there, I want to take us on a little bit of a journey. So I have to start with a story in my own life. When I was a young boy, I was a very sensitive sleeper. I was very sensitive to light. So as a young boy, probably 3-4 years old, if ever there was a light on, like in the evenings, parents would leave a light on, I would actually struggle to sleep. But that also had the opposite effect, because in the morning, when my mom would get up to have quiet time, then she would turn the light on, and the little beam of light would shoot through my little keyhole and under my door, and actually, I would wake up, and it's like 5 in the morning, it's early, I shouldn't be awake, but I would wake up, and I'd take my little blanket, and, you know, I'd walk out and waddle to my mom, and she would sit on a lazy boy in our lounge, and she would read and study the Word of God, and I would sit on her lap and kind of fall asleep again, and she would just read, and she would pray, and honestly, like, it was such a beautiful example to me, of starting your morning in the Lord's presence. And I wish I could say that I fell in love with Scripture that early on, but I didn't. But I believe that in part of her life was modeled to me is what we see in Luke 24, verse 32. And Luke 24, 32 tells us a story of how Jesus actually revealed Scripture. He was on the road to Emmaus, that's the word. I had to go and Google how to say that. And he was busy walking with these two disciples. I think they were disciples or two people. And he actually revealed the Scriptures to them. He started explaining it to them. And then we see it says this. They said to each other, this is now after Jesus had explained the Scriptures to them, kind of going all the way back and explaining everything. He said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened us up the Scriptures? that our hearts not burn. That is my goal this morning, is, and I trust it's the Holy Spirit that is wanting to move in us, is that your heart would leave here this morning burning for his word, burning to read, to study, to learn. Later on in my early years, let's go to about 7, 8, 9. my father actually, we went through a very difficult time. My mother passed away from cancer when I was 7, and that's a testimony and a story for another day. But part of that is my dad still had to drive us to school every morning. And he's driving with 2 children, 7 and 9 years old. It's my sister, she's older than me. Love her to pieces. So she would drive with us this morning in the mornings to school. And it was about 30 minutes from to get to school in the morning. And I mean, what do you say to your children? You know, they've just lost their mom, and you know, it's a couple of weeks after losing her, now you have to go back to school. I mean, what do you say to them? It's very difficult. They understand more than they can verbally explain, but it's a difficult time. And so all he did with us was he would teach us scriptures. And he started and he opened up and he said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I've become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And he starts and he taught us scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13. He taught us scriptures out of John. He taught us scriptures out of Matthew. And he would literally just take scripture and we would learn to recite scripture together. And I think that's exactly what the Lord wants of us, is actually that we would learn and we would learn to love the thing that he has given us. So, continuing on, I want to show us a couple of things that the word of the Lord is. All right? So, we're going to start off with number one if you're making notes. Number one, the Bible is infallible. Infallible is a big word, but very simply it means it doesn't make mistakes. In Psalm 19, verse 7, we see it says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So we see here, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. So the Bible in its entirety doesn't make mistakes. It's flawless because God wrote it. And he is flawless. And here's a deep truth. If you can grip this, it'll change you. This is 100% truth. 100% truth. In a world that is searching for truth all the time, this is truth. So number two, the Bible is complete. We don't need to add anything. In Revelations 22, verse 18, it says this. It says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. That's a pretty severe statement to make. It's like, don't add to the scripture. It doesn't need to. The scripture is complete, right? And I mean, if some of the plagues we know, I mean, even just as we learn in Sunday school, kids school, out of Josh Gen kids, my brain stuck there. Anyways, we learn about how even the Israelites had the 10 plagues in Egypt. And I'm like, yo, if I think about those plagues, I don't want to infringe on that. They're saying, but the Bible's complete. We don't have to add anything to it. Number three, the Bible is authoritative. When God speaks, everybody listens and obeys because he has the final authority. In John 8, verse 31, we see this. As Jesus was saying to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples. In other words, he demanded a response to his word because it is authoritative. Says the Bible, in everything it does, it demands our response. I recently read a quote that said this, that people who aren't growing in the Lord are not growing because they are not saturated in the word. And I kind of sat and thought about this. You know, one of the primary ways the Lord uses the scriptures is actually to reveal to us in our daily lives when we're overstepping or when we miss something. The Holy Spirit comes and you've read a scripture in the morning, and then all of a sudden he reminds you and says, actually, but, you know, blessed are those who are humble. And you're wanting to lash out, and then the Holy Spirit reminds you. And so actually the Bible is actually so important for us. And it's actually when our hearts are saturated with the word that the Holy Spirit uses it in our daily lives. And I hope this is encouraging you like this, to see that the Bible is complete, it's authoritative, it's infallible, it doesn't make mistakes. So, I mean, if we see that the Bible is all these things, then it should be a huge part of our daily life. It's actually so important. So now let's go into some benefits. And I must admit, when I was preparing this preach, these were some of the things that were like, oh my God, this is so cool. I absolutely love it. And you'll see my main point. Just remember your daily dagger. It's coming. Don't worry. So benefit number one is simply this. The Bible is the source of truth. The Bible is the source of truth. As I mentioned earlier, we live in a world that is searching for truth. How often are we here in the massive left movement that we have in the world? It's going like, yeah, but that's your truth, and this is my truth, and all these things. And they're all searching for something. But then Jesus says, but I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. So if we consider, and then he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, Jesus is the truth. The Word is the truth. In John 17:17, it says, your word is truth. You see, every time we pick up the Bible, we are picking up truth. Let's not forget that. In John 8:31-32, it's going back to that scripture. It says, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Verse John 8:31-32. And the truth shall set you free. All right? So we've looked at it. It's a source of truth. But how about this? Number two, the word is also the source of joy. It's a source of joy. In 1 John 1, verse 4, it says, and these things, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We are writing these things that our joy may be complete. So it's important to remember here that there's a big distinction between joy and happiness. Right? We know that. But what's important to remember is that joy is found in obedience. Joy is found in obedience. We know that the Lord is asking us to do things in the Bible, but it is only when we do them that we reap the benefits. I can know something, but only until I put it into action. In James, he talks about being doers of the word. I also want to add in here Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Well, I love the scripture. It says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Think of what he's saying here. It's like your words, I found your words, and I ate them. It'd be quite odd to actually eat paper, but... But you understand, he's saying, but I found your words and I ate them and they became to me a joy. Became to me a joy. You must understand, if I have this Bible but I never open it, it means nothing. It's not going to help me. But it's when I sit and I devour it and I allow my heart to go, but this is the truth, this is the word. And in it, that is a huge benefit. Number three, it's also the source of victory. We all go through things in our lives, but the Bible is the source of victory. In Psalm 119, verse 11, David says this, your words I have written on my heart that I might not sin against you. Your words I have written in my heart. It's the source of victory. He says here, if we realize this, the word then is the source of victory over sin. David says it. Psalm 119, he says, but I've written your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So he's basically saying, but hang on, because I've got the Lord's word in my heart. So now if we apply that very practically, now I was sitting reading the word of the Lord, and the Lord in let's say Galatians 5:22, and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And now I've been thinking about this and praying about this, and all of a sudden in my day something comes up and I get frustrated inside of me and I want to lash out. But then the Holy Spirit reminds me and goes, but Matthew, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And all of a sudden, my heart is made calm again. And actually, the word of the Lord then helped me not to sin again. Do you see that? This is powerful. Number four, and this is my all-time favorite part, and this is also where this bad boy comes in. I know it's not a dagger, please. I don't even know anyone who still owns a dagger, but it's as close as I have. A little MasterChef kitchen knife. There we go. Number four, the word of the Lord is victory over temptation. It's victory over temptation. One of the favorite scriptures that I love is in Ephesians 6, you know, where it talks about the armor of God, you know. So in Ephesians 6, verse 17, we see Paul is busy discussing this armor, and in the last thing that he mentions is this, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Which is the word of God. Now, what's interesting here, I went to go do a little bit of research, right? When we consider the word, the sword of the Spirit, you know, we're all like, cool, I got my Bible, I got my sword of the Spirit, you know, I pick it up daily. And that's also where the title of the preach comes in, is like your daily dagger. And you'll understand why in a moment. If you consider the word sword for a second, you consider something that's like super long. It's like you kind of got to use two hands and like, you know, swing it around. If you're in the modern era, it's like a lightsaber, you know. Like, it's this long thing that you're kind of just swinging around and hoping to hit something. You know, your enemy's coming at you and you're like slashing at him and hope it makes contact. But if you actually go and look at the word sword there in the Greek word, I had to use a Greek word. I see all the preachers do it, so here we go. So the Greek word that is used here is, and forgive my pronunciation, I am not Greek. It says macharia. Now, macharia basically means large knife or dagger. Large knife or dagger. Now, that puts a whole different context to this. Because he's going, it's not a sword that you like slash and flail around and hope to hit something. It's a dagger. And if you consider the use of a dagger is not to kind of just like swing around and hope to hit something. The dagger is in the midst of a moment. You see a vulnerable spot and you jab it in. And it's lethal. Do you see that? So now we put it in context of this. The word of the Lord is a sharp dagger. We don't use it to like broad stroke scriptures, swing around and go, oh, you know, whatever this, that, the next thing. No. In a moment of temptation, we can use the word. If we consider when Jesus was in the desert with the devil and the devil's busy tempting him, what does he do? He takes the dagger of scripture and he goes, but hang on, you shall not test the Lord your God. He takes scripture and it's used. So here's the thing. You might say, well, Matt, I've got a sword of the Spirit. I've got a Bible. But I come back to my point earlier. If you're not allowing it to saturate you, if you're not allowing yourself to read it and study it, and I know in our modern day, it's very difficult. Even while getting ready for the preach, I was messaging Ants and going like, you know what, sometimes it feels like as a preacher, I need to come up here and bring you some form of huge spiritual revelation. You know, the next big idea of like, hey, have you looked at the scripture in this way? Have you seen this side of scripture? But I don't have to. There's a beautiful scripture, a beautiful song that I was listening to, and it goes, living water needs no hype. Living water needs no hype. This is the source of truth. It's living water. I don't need to hype this up. Your soul is thirsty. Inside every single one of us, our souls are thirsty, and we're longing for something. We're longing for truth. We're longing to find more of the Lord. We're longing to live lives that are worthy of the calling. But I don't need to hype it up because this is the living water. See, having a Bible doesn't mean anything unless we allow ourselves to actually eat it and saturate our hearts with it.